Want to know how well you and that new friend are going to get along? Be sure and tell them how much you love Taylor Swift. Go ahead, wear those Crocs shoes. They'll look amazing on you. Whenever you hand out advice, always end with, "I don't know though," just in case you ruin someone's life. Need more traction on snow and ice? Try drilling 2-inch bolts into your tires. Kids, if someone offers you drugs, be sure to thank them. Drugs are very expensive.
Well, for those of you that don't know, that is Eric Lowry. Eric Lowry, for many, many years, was part of our church. They moved down to Scottsburg because they had a grandbaby, and they tend to be magnetic. And so he stepped back in and did that for us. Eric's a great guy, and we're so appreciative of his work. Hey, today we're talking about how to chill on this God thing. What I want to do is I want to share with you five things, five easy steps that you can do to move away from God this year. Things that really are not hard, things that don't take much effort on your part, things that you can do almost without thinking about it. Things that just they flow in the natural ebb and flow of life, that if you do these things, I guarantee you, by the end of 2018, you will be further away from God than you are today. Aren't you excited about that? Okay, so number one, the number one step is to forget to spend any time with Him. Forget to spend any time. Now, I'm not talking about intentionally putting it on your calendar where it says ignore God. I'm not talking about being purposeful about it. I'm not saying don't do it, you know, on purpose. I'm just saying, listen, just let things become more important. Let work, let family, let fun stuff or hobbies or that new boat that you bought or the new, you know, the new truck or ATV or the new, you know, new set of tickets that you got for season tickets for this or that. Let those things become a higher priority than spending time with God. You don't have to be mean about it. You just don't make it a priority. And the easy thing is just, don't read your Bible on a regular basis. Don't spend any time opening up your Bible. And I know, I'll be honest with you, I'm one of those people that I'm a tactile. I like paper. When I have a Kindle and I've got an iPad and some other things, and I've read books on them, but I love having just a regular book in my hands to scribble in and dog ear and that type of thing. And so if you're that type of person, do not pick up your physical Bible and start reading it. If you're one of those tech people that, man, you like, if it's not glowing back at you, it cannot get your attention, don't open up YouVersion. Don't read anything on there. Do not, by any stretch of the imagination, try and fall prey to one of those New Year's resolutions where it sets a reminder on your phone every day to read a couple of verses. Because if you do that, you're just going to get annoyed by week three because it keeps coming up and it keeps beeping at you. Don't do any of those things. Make sure that you don't worship or think about Him on a regular basis. Show up to church late as often as possible. Make sure that you don't set your alarm with enough time. Make sure that you don't do this thing. Or better yet, only show up once or twice a month. That's even better. If you will do that, and then to the icing on the cake, don't get involved. Don't volunteer in any way, shape, or form, because that you can form relationships that way. And then people like will go, "Where were you last week?" And that's just bad. You don't want that stuff. You don't want people, you know, caring about you. You walk in, you have a bad day. You can just kind of slither in the back, leave, you know, before the message is right at the end of the message and walk out and have no physical human contact whatsoever. And if you do those simple things, I guarantee you that you will have accomplished your first step of sliding away from God. Now, if you go, "Well, that's ridiculous. Why in the world would I intentionally do those things?" And that's the point. You wouldn't intentionally do them. But how many of us, not by a show of hands, because I think we'd all be rather embarrassed, how many of you have actually unintentionally done some or all of those things? It just happens. Just happens, right? It's just day after day after day, things happen. You don't think about it. It catches your attention. It doesn't catch your attention. You're not consumed by it. I want you to see a little bit of a different approach that David said in Psalm 63. In Psalm 63, verse 1, David says this about his time with God. He says, "Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you." Now, sometimes we're like, well, you know what? I just didn't feel it today. David goes, listen, it's not about me feeling it today. Every day I wake up and there is a driving desire, a pounding push in my heart that I want to spend time with God every single day. Nothing can get in its way. I'll bulldoze it. I'll pile drive it. I'll run over it. Any obstacle that gets in my way of spending time with God, because I earnestly search for you. And then he goes on. He says, my soul thirsts for you. As you think about how we're made up, you know, our soul is really who we are. If you take away the body, you take away those types of things, you still have the soul, and you've got the essence of who you really are. And he says, the foundation, the essence of who I really am thirsts for you. It longs for you like someone who's been walking in a desert for 3 days with no water. I mean, he just thirsts for you. He says, my whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. He's, man, as I walk through the day of regular life, God, I don't see you just popping out all over the place. I realize that if I am not intentional about spending time with you, I can go every day or days or weeks or months on end, because this world does everything it can to mute the presence of God in every way. So, hey, if you want to really chill on this God thing, the first step is just forget to spend any time with him. The second thing is really make sure that you spend time with the wrong people. This is really, if you want to accomplish this, if you really want to end 2018 a little bit further away from God than you are right now, this is highly, 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 highly important. Now, we're not talking about Facebook friends, although they can be disastrous too. But really, we're talking about the physical human interaction that we have on a regular basis. Make sure that you spend time with the wrong type of people. And by the wrong type of people, I mean this. Intentionally, don't build relationships with other Christians. Now, here's why I say that. Because if you actually build a relationship with another Christian, and they're really serious about God, they're going to love you like a fellow believer. That's what the Bible tells us to do. They're going to want to build a relationship with you. And then what's going to end up happening is that as you have that friendship, you're going to talk about some things that are going on in your life, or decisions that you're making, or people that you're hanging out with, or places that you're going, or things that you're doing, or whatever. And they may love you enough to tell you the truth that that's a bad idea. And you don't need anyone in your life putting you on a guilt trip. Am I right? You don't need anyone in your life telling you, hey, that's a bad idea. Don't do that, because if you really want to move further away from God, you don't want these people in your life who are going to tell you the truth. In fact, the best thing you can do is find people who are worse than you are. Find people, if you're like, hey, I really struggle with X, then you find somebody who really, really struggles with X. Because what's going to happen is it will make you feel better about your ex, whatever that is. Whether it's, people are like, I say that, everyone goes, oh yeah, like drugs and drinking and sex and things like that. Yeah, and eating too much chocolate cake. And not actually going to bed at the right time. Or binge watching a Netflix show for 24 hours straight and ignoring your family and friends. Or things like that. You see, we like to go, yeah, those are really bad, but what I'm doing is not as bad. You have already accomplished this step then. You've already found people to surround yourself with who are worse off than you are, so that you can point to them and go, see, I'm not so bad. And it makes it easier for you than to not really want to spend any time with God. But the pièce de résistance, like if you really want to go, oh, you know, whole hog, full in, jump in the bathtub with both feet in a cannonball type fashion, then what you need to do, if you are single, is you need to start dating somebody like this. You need to start dating somebody who doesn't love God, who is not a follower of God. You need to start dating and hanging out with somebody who really doesn't have the same spiritual priorities as you. And in fact, if you really want to do it, end up marrying them. That will work out great. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character." Now, that doesn't mean you don't hang out with people. In fact, the Bible is very clear that Jesus hung out with a lot of people. In fact, it gave him a reputation, right? He was called a friend of all kinds of sinners. But the difference is where you put your wisdom and where you look for counsel and the people that you lean on. Those people need to be solid. They need to be willing to tell you the truth. Y'all know I have a love-hate relationship with Facebook, but I am constantly dumbfounded, amazed. Literally, there have been times when I'll open up my computer. I try not to even get on Facebook about once every 2 weeks just because of this. It just like blood pressure right up to the top. Because somebody will post some stupid thing that they did. Well, I have just decided that I am just going to, you know, become a drug addict, alcoholic prostitute on the west side of town. And undoubtedly, 90% of their friends would be like, "You go, girl." It's like, what is the matter with you people? But that's what they do. That's this whole idea of the fact that when you hang around people like that and you lean on them for counsel and you lean on them for support and guidance and wisdom, you make them the most important human relationship that you have, it is not going to end up well. And they will drag you down. You're like, "Well, no, you don't understand. I'm trying to lift them up." It doesn't work that way. In fact, put an image in your mind like this. If I were to stand on top of this table and have a small, 100-pound, little tiny teenage girl stand right here, and I were to reach down to this little teeny tiny 100-pound teenage girl and say, "Here, let me help you up," who is going in what direction if that happens? It's not her coming up. It's me probably crushing and breaking every bone in her body. Because the leverage isn't there. It works the same way in relationships. You don't have the leverage. You need to be able to have those people in your life so you can lean on them that way. So, step number one, make sure you forget to spend time with God. But then number two, make sure you spend time with the wrong type of people. And then number three, and this is natural, this is easy. I don't think probably we have to think about this. Just stop resisting your desires. Just stop resisting those things that just come to you and they just kind of like start bubbling up inside of you. You're like, "Okay, I got to push those down." You're like, "We'll let them just come to full fruition. Let's just let those things roam loose. Do whatever feels good." Because that always ends up well, right? You'll know if you're doing this, if you have this internal conversation in your mind and you say things like, "Well, that's just the way I am." Or you put a church spin on it. You put a Jesus spin on it. And you say, "Well, that's the way God made me." No, I'm pretty sure that's DNA from mom and dad, because they probably had some issues too, because, they're sinners. And God, in fact, when he saves you, when he comes into your life, he gives you the power to change. That's the whole point of a new creation. He changes you, Romans 12, from the inside out. He transforms you into a new person. He takes who you are and makes you the best form of who you can be so that you can accomplish all the plans and the purpose and the ideas that he has for your life, so that you can pursue him with a reckless abandon and become the man or the woman that God has called you to be. James 1, 14 and 15 says this, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by the world," right? When he's lured and enticed by the TV, by the computer, by money, by, no, what's it say? By what? You know you are your own worst enemy. We love to blame everyone else, especially in our world today. It's everyone else's fault. Well, the reason I keep getting fired is that I have bad bosses. Those bad bosses just don't like it when I tell them the truth, that I should have a latte machine and that I should be able to come in late and I should be able to say whatever I want, whenever I want, to whomever I want, because I am a human being and I have dignity. You're fired. Well, that's just not fair. Well, that's the way it is. Well, I just want to be able to, No. You have to, if you truly want to grow closer to God, actually have a resistance built within you, an immunity powered by the Holy Spirit to resist the sinful desires that are naturally a part of who you are. Now, this is where I will say this, because I think it's really, really important. People will say, well, because that's a natural desire, it must mean that's what God wants for me. No, that's not true. If you remember when you had small children, they had a natural desire to stick their finger in the light socket. They had a natural desire to pick up a pair of scissors and run through the house while their sister is chasing them. They had a natural desire to stick their hand into the fire because it was pretty. You see, the thing is that many of us haven't grown past and grown up from our natural desires spiritually. We've grown up from them physically, right? We don't, most of us probably don't run with scissors anymore, and most of us don't want to put our hand in a light socket or our hand in a fire. I mean, if you do that, there may be some other issues that you might want to address with a professional. But the reality is that those you kind of grow out of because you grow up. But spiritually, if you're not growing up, then that means these things that are boiling within you are still there, and you're going to give in to them. And here's what's amazing. Verse 15 says, then desire when it has conceived. In other words, when you've given in to that desire, when you've allowed that desire, which is just bursting forth and ready to blow up inside of you, when it gives birth to sin. See, now do you notice? That's the point of sin. The desire in of itself is not sinful. When you act or give in to the desire, that's when it becomes sinful. The desire is to be resisted so that sin doesn't show up. So when you give in to that desire, sin gives birth to sin. And then when sin fully grows up and becomes a mature young man, it brings forth death. You see, it's really easy for us to go, well, that's just the way I am. And so we ask for forgiveness from God, right? But then we go right back to it. Because, see, God does forgive. But God also desires repentance. Repentance is not just asking for forgiveness. Repentance, literally, the best way to put it in our understanding, our language, repentance is to turn around. You are going in a direction towards a certain objective, but you repent. You turn around, and you head in the opposite direction. So if you want to be further away from God by the end of 2018 than you are right now, make sure you forget to spend time with Him. Make sure that you spend time with the wrong type of people. Make sure that you stop resisting your desires. Number four, make sure that you embrace that this world is all that there really is. That when you die, it's pretty much over with. There may be a heaven, there may be some of that stuff, but really, really, the vast majority of joy that we're going to have in our life, you know, our eternal life is really going to be found here on earth. This life is really the main show, and heaven is kind of like, you know, when you watch a Marvel's movie, you know what I'm talking about, right? The Avengers, I love those. But anyways, when you watch those and the movie ends, and the credits start to roll, and only the people who have no idea what they're doing get up and leave. Why? Because after the credits, it's always like an Easter egg type thing, right? It's like, woo, what's going to happen next? And so everyone sits there. Nobody moves. And that is how we often think about heaven. Like, this is the main movie. This is the real deal. This is what's really going on. And then heaven's kind of like that cool little thing that happens after the end that we're like, oh, that was so cool. So live your life that way. Get as much stuff as possible. Amen, man. Get as much stuff as you can possibly have. Get the biggest garage, guys, that you can find and fill it till there is no room. And then when it's full, start taking over rooms in your house with other stuff. If you have a hobby, buy every piece of hobby, whatever it is, making equipment that you possibly can, because that is going to be awesome. If you love shoes, buy as many shoes as you possibly can, because you never know when you're going to need a pair of knee-high red leather high-heeled boots. You never know when they might be necessary. Maybe if you post on Facebook that you're going to become a drug-addicted hooker on the west side of town, that'll be the perfect time. If you have red knee-high boots, relax, I don't know, it's fine. Okay. And by buying all this stuff, make sure that you go into as much debt as possible, because you don't want to have to really work hard to get this stuff. You want it to come as easy as possible so that you can have as much short-term pleasure and as much short-term joy as possible. And then once you get that stuff, obsess over it. I mean, obsess over it. If you get a new boat, polish it every week. If you get a new dress, man, make sure it's dry cleaned every time. If you get a new, you know, oil, put it on every day. If you get, whatever the case may be, you know, just obsess over it. It has to become your driving force. Whether it's sports, you're like, oh, sports. We are consumed right now with the whole Colts thing and what's going to go on. And Chuck is finally gone. Praise God. So we become consumed with it. It becomes our life. And all of the things on our phone and the apps on our phone, it's like this update and this sports thing and this. We got to become consumed with it. Or whether it's fitness. Maybe you're a fitness person. You're like, I have to work out every day, because if I don't, I'm going to get fat. That's what's going to happen. I know it. I cannot eat this croissant, even though it's wonderful and small and fluffy and light, because it will go right to my hips. And some of you women think that way too. And so whether it's hobbies or work or whatever, just obsess about all that stuff. Get consumed with it. And then make sure, this is really for the vast majority of you who are my age or younger, make sure that you follow people on Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat and Twitter and all of those things that only post when they are perfectly, you know, positioned. And make sure that they know how to use Photoshop and all that stuff really, really well. And that they post the perfect pictures all the time, or their new cars, or their new that. Don't ever, 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 ever follow anyone that posts real, genuine stuff that happens in their life on a regular basis. Because then you'll think that, oh, well, maybe my life isn't so bad. You need to make sure that you always follow these ridiculous celebrities who get paid to be celebrities. And that way you will constantly feel like you need to get more stuff. That's really important to do. That really kind of ends the ability to be able to do that. 1 John 2:15, Jesus says this: do not love this world, nor the things of this world, nor the things that it offers you. For when you love this world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Often we read this verse and we hear this: do not love the things of the world, or the things that this world offers you, because if you love the world, you do not love the Father. But is that what it says? You see, it says something very different and really more significant. That means you are not, on a regular basis, experiencing the unconditional, unfettered love of the Father in your life. You see, when you love and obsess about the things of this world tells you you're not enough. You don't have enough. You don't look good enough. You need to change this about you. You need to be concerned about what other people think. You need to be obsessed with making sure that your pictures are liked enough. And so you literally drown out the love of the Father in you. And so as you do that, you will become addicted to what other people think. And it will drive you further and further and further away from God. So, step one, make sure that you forget about spending any time with Him. Make sure you spend time with the wrong type of people. Make sure that you stop resisting those desires. Let those bad boys just bubble over all over the place. And make sure that you embrace this world as this world is all that there is, because it's really the big show. And then finally, when all else fails, fake it. Just fake it. When all else fails, just fake it. When life is crumbling around you, go, it's all good. Or have the mantra, it is what it is. I can't do anything about it. I guess I didn't cause it either. Now, you don't have to be immoral, right? You don't have to be evil or horrible or an awful person. But just pretend. Just make sure you talk the right talk, especially when you're around those other Christians that are like way judgy and they want to tell you that that's probably not a good idea because they like love you and stuff. Make sure you tell them, you know, the only verse that maybe you know that oh, I was reading this week and I came across John 3:16. It was such a blessing. That's a key word. Use blessing a lot. That's a good one. You know, hashtag blessed. Oh, yeah, well, I'm just big time. Just make sure you talk the right way. And make sure that when you get in with these groups, don't ever let it get real. In fact, really, really important, don't ever join a small group. Because if you join a small group, things tend to get real in there. People like actually, I know this might scare some of you off, people actually talk about what's going on in their lives beyond what they post on Instagram. They tell you, you know, what's actually happening, and there's these conversations about what's going on and how to encourage each other and how to cry with each other and how to make each other laugh and how to build each other up and how to help each other understand the truth. And there's all that stuff that happens there, and that can be really scary, and it can get real, real fast, and you don't want that. Because if it gets that way, then man, it's really hard to fake it in that environment. Isaiah 29:13 says, and so the Lord says, these people say that they are mine. They honor me with their lips. In other words, they say the right thing, but their hearts, they're far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Learned by memory. This goes back to the old, if you don't do this and you don't do this and you do this and you don't hang out with those that do, then you're fine. It goes way beyond that. God's not interested in a bunch of rules. God desires a relationship with you. And in that relationship, you make changes not because you have to, but because you want to in growing in that relationship with Him. Revelation chapter 3, the first part of verse 1, Jesus Christ is talking to a particular church and He says this, it's really rather scary. He says, I know your works. I see that you do the right things. You have a reputation for being alive, but you faked it because you are dead. There's nothing really going on inside. I want to wrap up with this verse, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Jesus is talking to another church, and He says this, but I have this complaint against you. He says, you don't love me or each other as you did at first. I want you, if you know Jesus Christ, I want you to just pause for just a second. And this is one of the reasons I so strongly encourage you to be a part of Sunday nights when we go through and we celebrate with people who have accepted Jesus Christ and they go public with their faith and baptism. And then we celebrate together with communion as we take the juice and the bread, which represents the blood and the body of Christ as he sacrificed for us. And we're reminded, we see on the faces of these people as they come up out of the water after they've received Jesus Christ and now they're going forward with their faith and they're going public with their faith, we see this joy on their face and we go, man, I remember what that was like. Do you remember what it was like? Maybe like me, you were a small child. I was 6 years old, 7 years old. And my dad was the pastor, and my dad was not preaching that Sunday. A guy named Hugh Horner was the evangelist, and he was preaching, and he's teaching, and he's talking about all these things, and I'm sitting there going, man, that makes a lot of sense what he's saying. You're like 7 years old? Seriously? I was a baby genius, okay? But he was just talking about ways, just you just go, man. Of course, growing up in the preacher's home, kind of, you know, you hear that stuff all the time. So it all, like, made sense. And so I went, and I went, and my dad, like, you know, tears coming down his face, and we prayed together. I thought it was so funny because we got on our knees, and I'm like, get on our knees to pray. Come on. He's like, seriously, let's do that. So we prayed. Then I remember when I got baptized, it was so cool. And I remember the joy and the excitement and the energy that I felt. Can you remember that? You go, man, where did that go? Probably one or all of these five steps have been taking place in your life. Probably one or all of these five steps you've been following on a fairly regular basis. And you go, man, how did I get here? Because you weren't intentional. I'm not going, let's get the big, you know, wooden hickory bat out and start. No. This is not a condemnation. This is a plea and an encouragement to go, come on, man, get back to where you were. And then Jesus ends with this. He says, turn back to me and do the works, do the things that you did at first. Big idea. For this series, we've kind of flipped how we typically teach on its head because we thought that was probably the most appropriate. The big idea, the one thing I want you to walk out this morning with is this. If you're not intentional about growing closer to God, then you're unintentionally growing further away from God. If you're not intentional about growing closer to God, if you don't build into your life and your planner and your calendar these things that you know are necessary to be able to grow closer to God, then, my friends, I'm just going to be real honest with you, then you are unintentionally. I don't think you're doing it on purpose. I don't think you've made a New Year's resolution going, I want to be further away from God now, you know, next year than I am right now. I don't think anyone would do that on purpose. But the reality is that the things that we're not doing on purpose are leading us down that path. And they're leading us further and further away from God. And one day, you're going to wake up just like that group of people, that church in Revelation, and go, how in the world did I get here? So my challenge to you, my hope, is that you will begin to intentionally, on purpose, planned out, begin to do the things that will help you grow closer to God. And my prayer is that as we've gone through these things this morning, there have been a few that you go, man, I'm doing that, and I didn't even realize it. Again, not a condemnation, but an encouragement to get back. Father God, we thank you that you would love us enough to teach us the truth day in and day out. You don't let us wander too far. You always are right there. And God, what's amazing is that no matter how far we go, all we have to do is turn around. Because God, you are pursuing us. Your word tells us that day in and day out, you traverse, you wander over the earth looking for those whose hearts will be dedicated to you. So God, I pray that each and every man and woman here that knows your son, Jesus Christ, that God, today they would make the commitment in their mind to be intentional. To not just hope everything works out okay, but to be purposeful, to plan it out, to realize that to become the man or the woman that you've called them to be, it takes a commitment. It takes intentionality. It takes planning. And yeah, it takes patience. But God, the amazing thing is that you filled us with your Spirit. You filled us with your Spirit who empowers us to do all of those things. God, I pray that we surrender today and we're ready to become who you've called us to be. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.